Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Well, good evening and welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Willingham with Crimson Line Ministries here in Atlanta. Thank you, anybody who's dialed in. We welcome you. We're glad you're here. We've got a really exciting show. This one's going to be a tad bit different than usual because we're going to be sharing a lot of the experiences that we had this weekend when I had my mentor, my pastor, my spiritual father come down from South Carolina. And we had a seminar that lasted 2 days, and then we had a lot of other stuff that went on, and I want to share that with you. We're going to talk a lot about the kingdom. This new series that we're starting is Kingdom 101, and so we're going to spend a lot of time on that over the next few weeks. But first, just like we always do, let's open the evening in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for everything that you're doing through this ministry, that you're doing through Hip Hop National Radio. Father, we just seek your blessings. We seek your wisdom. We seek your knowledge and discernment. For tonight, Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would speak through me, that I would speak clearly, articulately, and put forth this message that you put in my heart. Father, I ask that lives would be touched. Pray for hearts and minds to be open. Father, bless this time we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we're starting a new series, Kingdom 101. I've been convicted, spanked, chastised, whatever you want to call it a little bit, that sometimes us pastors, we fall into the trap of feeling like that every sermon, that every time that you're in front of people, that has to be something mind-blowing, something entertaining, something to get people stirred up, something to get people excited. And sometimes we forget that the things that get people the most excited are the most basic, fundamental, transformational things that God puts out in his word. One of the things that we live in a world where people are searching for truth. We hear all the time where we've been surrounded by philosophers for centuries. You know, you can go back to Plato and Aristotle and Socrates and these things, and they had an idea of the way things worked and where do we search for truth. And without fail, whether you're talking about Plato, Aristotle, Leonardo da Vinci, and the philosophers and the so-called great minds of our time, one thing they all have in common is they're all looking for the answers inside the box. They're looking, if you look at our world, our universe, you can look at that as enclosed in a box or a cube, and everything contained in the universe, from the planets and the stars and everything, including Earth and the world that we live in, is contained in a box. And all of these people, without fail, they've always looked for the answers inside the box. So what that did was it eliminated the existence of a God. It eliminated anything outside the box that had any control over what happened inside the box. And it also eliminated a God that's active inside the box. So what it's left with is this empty philosophy, these empty philosophies that you can always, through the word of God, you can always poke holes in these philosophies. And if you look back and you read history, you'll find out that these are the things that drove these people insane, that they thought they knew that they knew that they knew, but at the end of the day, they said there's something still missing. From Leonardo da Vinci to even Darwin, Darwin, who was suicidal at the end of his life because he just couldn't wrap his head around this thing that was missing. You've heard us talk a lot about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And I hear the language starting to be used a lot more, the kingdom, anywhere from rap songs to to preaching these days, and it's about the kingdom, and the message of the kingdom is starting to come out a little bit. But I believe that this week God took this knowledge and this wisdom and the existence of the kingdom here on earth to a new level for us. And it even got more practical. It even made more sense than it ever has. Because Jesus, in Matthew chapter 10, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, he was talking to his disciples, and he said, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter the city of Samaria, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And this is what he said. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven has arrived. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, and freely you shall give. We've said this before, that number one, Jesus was asked very specifically. Pontius Pilate asked him very specifically, are you a king? You are right in saying that I'm a king. So we ask people, why did Jesus come into the world? And you hear correct, accurate answers. He came to save us. Yes. He came to redeem us. Yes. He came to set the captives free. Yes. But Jesus spoke very specifically about this, and he told Pontius Pilate exactly why he came into the earth. You are right to say that I am a king, and for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world to testify to the truth. If you think about that for a minute, that's one of the most profound statements that you can ever find. If I'm testifying, usually if we use the word testify, that means I'm in court. So what was on trial? Truth was on trial. Truth has always been on trial. From the first scene, as we open up our Bibles, God created the heavens and earth, and he told Adam and Eve one thing, do not eat from this tree, or you shall surely die. So here comes the enemy calling in, doing what? Calling in to question the truth claims of God, and offering his new truth, his version of the truth. You shall not surely die. No, 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 no. You don't understand. You're misunderstanding what God's saying. You're not going to die. He just doesn't want you to know that if you eat of this tree, if you eat of the fruit of this tree, you're going to be like him. Ah, had a choice to make at that moment, and we know that they chose poorly. And ever since that day, we as human beings have a choice to believe the truth claims of God or to believe the lies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's a series that we're in the midst of on Wednesday nights in our Bible studies called The Truth Project. And if you ever get a chance to get your hands on The Truth Project, it is a comprehensive view of all the world systems, from philosophy to archaeology to anthropology to all of these things. It's extremely informative, and believe it or not, it's very entertaining as well. But it's this cosmic battle that's always taken place, this cosmic battle between the truth claims of the world, the lies of the world, the flesh, and the devil, opposed to the truth claims of God. And if you line those up together, you will see that they're in direct opposition to one another. They're at polar opposite ends of the way things operate. So we here on earth operate in a system where 9 times out of 10, without even knowing, without paying attention, we're believing the lies of the world, the flesh, and the devil daily. And this opens us up. This opens us up and opens doors in our personal lives to the enemy to come in and set up shop. So we have this mandate, these instructions of Jesus saying, go out and preach the gospel. tell people that the kingdom has arrived, heal the sick, cast out demons. And the Bible also says, Jesus says, so that the world may know. See, we're also faced with this issue. Do these things so that the world may know. I contend now that the world doesn't know. I contend even your average Christian who sits in church every Sunday morning, do they know that they know that they know? Or even put a better way, do they believe that what they believe is really real? I don't think so. Because I think if we believe that what we believe is really real, we could walk out the door tomorrow morning and turn the world upside down. We could change the world around us immediately. Our relationships would transform immediately. Our communities would transform. Our schools would transform. Our cities, our states, our nation would transform immediately if we believe that what we believe is really real. And the Bible talks a lot about doubt. It talks a lot about a lack of faith. It talks a lot about being double-minded. The accurate translation is double-souled. Everybody needs to understand that your soul is your mind, your will, your intellect. All of those things make up your soul, your emotions. That's your soul. So we're going to talk a lot tonight about the kingdom and the purpose and what Jesus was trying to get through to everybody around him, what he was trying to get through to us and what he's still trying to relay to us today through his word of what he needed us to do and the reason he came into the world and what he wanted us to carry on when he left. And why did Jesus say when he left, why did he turn around and say, I've given you the ability to do all the things that I have done. You've watched me walk through my ministry. You've seen me operate. You've seen my methods of operation. You've seen how I love. You've seen how I perform the things that I do and how I do them. And I need you to do the same thing. I need you to continue my work. Because I brought you the kingdom back. Repent, for the kingdom has arrived. I brought it back to you. Now it's your job and to take the things that I have done, learn these things, put these things into operation, and continue my work until I come back. And we have failed miserably. We have failed miserably because we've taken the gospel and we've given it our own meaning, to fit our own agendas, to fit our own politically correct policies, and to fit into our business bubbles and our organizational bubbles and our religious denominational bubbles. And we've eliminated the most important things that Jesus asked us to do. And that's not just me as a pastor, a preacher, that is all of us as children of God. That we're all called to ministry and we're all called to reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile everything back to the Father, everything back to God, to operate like Jesus operated so that the world may know. And I believe that God is right now, in this very moment, pouring out his Spirit. And we hear that all the time. In the last days, God will pour out his Spirit. What does that mean? What does that mean? Does that mean that the earth is going to start shaking and people are just going to miraculously start getting up out of their hospital beds and walking and all these miracles, signs, and wonders are just going to randomly start happening? No, I don't think so. I think what he's doing is he's pouring out his truth. I think he's reaching down and touching the saints and touching the chosen people of God and saying, I am putting it on you now. You need to wake up. You need to understand the truth. And now you need to take that truth to the ends of the earth. And I believe that's what he's doing right here in Atlanta. And we have evidence of that now. even me, after all this time, after all of these years, when I'm alone, when I'm in my quiet place, God, please give me more faith. I need to know that I know that I know. Please show me a sign. Show me something. And to end up in Atlanta, Georgia, where I am now, and on a weekend in November, the 15th, 16th, and 17th of November in 2013, God says, here's your sign. Now, son, do you know now? And we know. So we're going to take a short break for some music and some commercial announcements, and then I'm going to come back and we're going to talk more about this kingdom concept. We're going to talk more about what each and every one of us can do today, tomorrow morning, as we go into our week to take this to a whole nother level. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're going to be listening to B.J. Williams and Rain. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio and Crimson Line Ministries. We'll be right back.
Goes through, bills running over and I'm tired of going through. I can't explain this feeling. I've been struggling hard, I'm all working no pay. Fall to my knees and fold my hands up for a brighter day. Look down and please see about me. Know your tears fall like rain. Just gotta know it's gonna be okay. Instead of walking away, giving your life to him, he's there to mend up your heart and to show you daily, I am the Lord of all. Gotta have faith and not enough to enjoy, and lonely not to mention. I keep praying to God in the midst of my pain, seeing great grace bouncing back again. I'm reminded of one single thing, yeah. Oh, your tears fall like rain. Just gotta know it's gonna be okay. Instead of walking away, give your life to him. He said to me, your heart and to show you daily, I am the Lord of above. with the wisdom, power, and love. Our God is awesome. Don't you know that He reigns from heaven above?
Coming November 24th, 2013 for two shows, available for 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. Located at the Coral Springs Center for the Arts, 2855 Coral Springs Drive, Coral Springs, Florida.
And what that supposed to mean?
That means I'm starting to turn out like that old lady that
ooh,
I know.
Because I like good vibes.
Yeah, ooh. That old lady,
ooh,
you.
If I slap you.
You don't want to miss this place, so get your tickets now. Tickets are $15 in advance and $25 at the door. Booth rates are also available. Call 954-200-2839. That's 954-200-2839.
Please come as quick as you can and marry this girl. Because if she eat my Cocoa Puffs one more time, I'm going to catch a case. Because I'm cuckoo from a Cocoa Puffs.
November 24th, 2013. Another Antonio G. Wells production.
Hip Hop National Magazine has everything you love about being part of the hip hop generation and more. The magazine has A-list celebrity interviews from hip hop national partner, The Val the BB Show, style, fitness, news, health, craft, music from all genres, artist development, also articles with business decision makers on how to succeed in the entertainment industry. Read Hip Hop National Magazine online and in print. Visit hiphopnational.com. Get your Hip Hop National news from the number one source, Hip Hop National Magazine.
Gospel, hip-hop, pop, R&B, calling all genres of music. Hip Hop National Radio is ready to give you the chance of a lifetime with our Flyers on Fire Street Connect campaign. Hip Hop National Radio, in conjunction with Poetic Inc., is gearing up for a promotional campaign that will sweep the nation. Flyers on Fire Street Connect campaign. Yes. Hip Hop National is taking your music to the streets in all the major cities across America. Wait, there's more. Flyers on Fire campaign will go viral as well, attacking all the major social networks, Twitter, MySpace, Facebook, and more. The Flyers on Fire campaign is designed for you, the artist, to hit many major markets to promote your music at the fraction of the cost. Hip Hop National Radio is all about teaching you how to take your music from the studio to the bank. Our mission is to assist you in spreading the good news about your music while making a profit. Get in now. Log on to hiphopnationalradio.com. Remember, promotions are the key to making your project a success. Hip Hop National Radio has the network to take your project to the next level. Our packages start at $85. Call 954-461-3398. That's 954-461-3398 for more details.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
Welcome back to Hip Hop National Radio and Crimson Lion Ministries. Let's go to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 6 and verse 10. And this is a verse that we are all familiar with. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name in the earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. This is a concept, a principle, a truth that we must absolutely grab hold of as children of God. We have got to get rid of this abstract, disconnected thinking. Well, that prayer sounds good, and we pray that before our football games. And I remember praying it from the time I was 5 years old, every time before a sporting event. And we memorize it. That's one of the first prayers that we memorize. And it's not until one day the light bulb goes off and we go, oh, that's why Jesus came. He came to give us a kingdom. He came to bring and show us the realities of the kingdom of heaven. He came to show us those realities here on earth so that we may continue what he was doing and continue to show the rest of the world the kingdom of heaven realities right here on earth. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Jesus came preaching a kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom has arrived. When he touched grapes, he talked about a kingdom. When he held a coin in his hand, he talked about a kingdom. When he saw goats and sheep, he talked about a kingdom. When he saw a field, he talked about a kingdom and treasure. It was, everything was about the kingdom. He never preached Christianity. He never preached a church. He preached a kingdom. He tried to relay the message that, children, the Father wants to give you all of the realities of the kingdom. He wants you to experience heavenly truths and heavenly realities and the heavenly way of doing things. He wants and desires for you to experience those things right here on earth. You can't take away from that. You cannot add to that. There's no other interpretation. That was the desire of the Father. That was why he was able to send his son to die. Did he send his son to die? Was that the master plan for him to send his son to suffer such grotesque and incomprehensible pain and suffering? Just so we could randomly go through this life doing the best that we can, trying to be good, sitting inside four walls on Sundays in our Sunday best and our enormous hats and our $100, $500 shoes, and listen to a preacher talk about favor and grace and mercy and the atmosphere is shifting and the chains are about to be broken. And week after week after week, we go back and go, my life, you know, I believe in God, and I'm really on fire for Jesus, but my life's really not changing a whole lot because, you know, my relationships are jacked up. I can't seem to get any peace in my household. And no matter what I do, no matter how much I grind, and no matter how much I have faith, my pockets seem to have holes in them because I just don't ever seem to have enough money, and I'm living paycheck to paycheck, and I've got faith, but man, God, you need to show me something. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. But because of our lack of understanding of the kingdom, because of our lack of understanding of righteousness, and because of our lack of understanding of the image of Christ, and that we're supposed to take on that image, that we're supposed to take on the fullness of Christ, that when you're immersed in something, that means when you're immersed, it literally means that you take on the characteristics of the thing that you were immersed in. Wow. That gives baptism a whole nother meaning, doesn't it? You see, we look at baptism and, well, I get saved and I go talk to the preacher and, or I go down to the altar and I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and then I've got to schedule an appointment, and the preacher says, now on the third Sunday of this month, we're going to line up and I'm going to dunk you in the water, and I'm going to go down and, whoo, okay, I completed the process. Shame on the men of God for not taking the time to explain that when Jesus was baptized, when John took Jesus and immersed him in the water, when he came back up, he was immersed in the Holy Spirit. That's why when he came out, he took on every characteristic of the Holy Spirit. Everything that the Holy Spirit could do, all the power, all the knowledge, all the wisdom, everything of the Holy Spirit Jesus now had. And he was driven into the desert to be tempted. And we look at another story, and we've heard it time and time and time again. Okay, Jesus went into the desert, and he was tempted by the devil, and he won the battle. No. He responded to the temptations of the enemy righteously. So every time the enemy comes and says, look, you're the Son of God, man. You're hungry. You haven't eaten in days. Man, take this rock and turn it into bread and eat. Mm-mm. Man does not live by bread alone. Righteousness. He responded in the Holy Spirit. He responded in the fullness of the Spirit. He did not respond from his flesh. He didn't respond to the feelings of hunger and the pain and the suffering that he was going through. No, he responded in the Spirit. Man, fall down and worship me, and I'll give you everything. Man, it's all yours if you fall down and worship me. Get behind me, Satan. See, we look at it as just Jesus doing Jesus stuff. No, he felt the same temptation when we're sitting at home at night alone and everybody's gone to bed and we turn that computer screen on. Yeah, nobody's watching, man. You know, me and my wife are going through troubles, and, you know, I just need to, I'm going to visit this little website for a little while. There's the temptation. Did you respond righteously, or did you respond in the flesh? So when the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, we're seeking righteousness. We're trying to grow in righteousness daily. And every time we come across a situation and we respond righteously to that situation, the power of the Holy Spirit grows inside of us. See, the only way that we can let the Spirit operate in us, when it says walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, we church folks hear that, oh, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And we unleash that when it's the proper time to unleash that so we can show people how holy we are. But day after day after day, you're driving in your car and you get cut off on the street, and there's your choice, respond in the Spirit or respond in the flesh, and we choose poorly. We don't think it's a big deal. Man, I just lost my temper. You know, I shouldn't have done that. Forgive me, Lord. But because we respond in the flesh to every situation that comes to us, the Holy Spirit is never allowed to grow in power inside of us. That's why the Bible says, never reward evil for evil. And this is where there's a disconnect between the minister, the man of God, the preacher, the pastor, the apostle, the bishop. He's the man of God. He's the minister. And God says, no, no, no. You're a minister. You're a royal priesthood. I've got a job for all of you children of God, that you're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. So we get in a fight with our wives or our husbands, and they're, you know, you've got a husband who's being abusive. You've got a husband who's being lazy. You've got a husband who's being physically, emotionally, he's not treating the kids well. He's not spending time with the kids. He won't go get a job, whatever the case may be. And the wives respond, and they reward evil for evil because they attack. You sorry, sorry, so-and-so. You've never been good enough, blah, blah. And it's this vicious cycle that goes on and on and on and on. And we look up and, God, please help my marriage. And he's looking down saying, son, daughter, minister to your husband. Minister to your wife. Don't reward evil for evil. Respond righteously to that evil. Respond righteously. And if you'll do that, the Holy Spirit will grow inside of you, and I will work through that righteousness to heal your marriage. I will work through that righteousness to reach that lost husband, that lost wife, that lost mother, that lost father. But I cannot work through evil. And we're never taught these things. So Jesus said, here's the kingdom. And he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into the Father except through me. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter into my kingdom. And we look at that and go, oh man, if I'm not more perfect, if I don't sin less than the scribes and Pharisees, I'm not going to heaven. God says, no, 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 no. That's why you've got a bunch of fools down there who don't read their Bibles, and they're not doing the right thing in teaching their flocks the proper way. It says, we have no more teaching priests. They're gone because they don't know the word. So they quote these scriptures and it sounds good. And they said, oh, my pastor, he's so smart. He knows Greek. He knows Hebrew. No, he doesn't. Because that verse says, if your righteousness does not exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter into my kingdom. It has nothing to do with the kingdom of heaven. It has everything to do with the kingdom here on earth. Son, you got down on your knees. You accepted my son into your life. You repented of your sin, and I am your father, and I love you 1,000 times more than your earthly father or mother ever could. So if you have a bad day in sin or you have a bad period in your life, do you think I'm going to turn my back on you and not allow you to come home? How many stories do we have to read in the Bible that give us that analogy? The prodigal son. He came home, and what did his father do? He ran to him with open arms and embraced him. But we say, you're going to hell. We don't understand the Bible. Because it says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means experience my kingdom here on earth. You're going to grind and grind and grind, and your relationships are going to stay jacked up. Your money is going to stay jacked up. Your economy is going to stay jacked up. Your relationship with your children is going to stay jacked up. Your relationship with your boss is going to stay jacked. Everything in your life is going to be jacked up unless you can seek the kingdom, seek righteousness, and quit being all holy on Sunday morning and mocking my name. And Jesus said, look to me. Look to me. I'm the door. I'm the gatekeeper. I'm the way, the truth, the life. Watch what I do. Watch how I operate. And copy me. Do everything that I'm doing in the same way I'm doing it. What does the Bible say? He says Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Man, if you can get this, this will change your life. Because this is the most beautiful representation of what we can experience here on earth, is understanding what that word peace really means. Because the word is actually shalom. And if you've listened to this radio show enough, you've heard me say this. But let's talk about shalom for a minute. This concept of shalom comes from the Hebrew word shalem, meaning to be complete. When there is shalom, there is tranquility, justice, sufficient food, clothing, housing. There's divine health with no sickness. Shalom means an absence of disorder, injustice, robbery, corruption, conflict, lack, hatred, abuse, violence, pain, suffering, immorality, and all other negative forces. When shalom reigns, there will be no immorality, no injustice, no disorder, strife, violence, poverty, sickness, abuse, accidents, homelessness, pain, hunger, and more. In other words, no good thing is withheld. God wants to establish us in shalom, so we are steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding. That gives a whole new meaning to the Prince of Peace, doesn't it? What I just described to you is the kingdom of heaven. In heaven, there is no pain. There is no death. There is no violence. There is no injustice. There is no strife. There is no sickness. There is no poverty. And God said, I want to establish my kingdom here on earth. That's my desire. And we don't get that. We pray to God and say, please, please help. Help, I'm having faith. I have faith. And we go through this world and we grind and grind and grind and we just don't get it. Because God's saying, I've given you the keys. And Jesus, here he is. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the door. He's the gatekeeper. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Do what he did. And Jesus said, okay, once you believe in me and repent of your sins and believe that I was crucified, I died and rose again in 3 days, okay, you're inside the door. You're inside the gate. You're inside the walls of the kingdom. Now look around you. Now my ministry is going to give you every single key that you need to unlock every door to every treasure and every truth and everything that you could possibly imagine in this kingdom. I'm giving you the key to economy. This is how your finances will be fixed. Here's the key to relationships. This is how your relationships will be fixed. Everything, key after key after key after key. And oh, by the way, go teach these things. Go do these things. These are universal truths that if you will use these keys and operate in these principles, I promise you, you will experience kingdom realities. But we keep doing things our way. We keep doing things our way. We run a business and we go take marketing classes and branding classes and Tony Robbins said to do it this way and this guy, Robert Kiyosaki, said to do it this way and this guy says to do this and hey, there's some wisdom in all of that. But Jesus said do it this way. Which one are you going to listen to? Just like Adam and Eve, we choose poorly, don't we? Because we don't. We just grind and we search on the internet and Google this and Google that and we spend money on all these things and some reap some reward. But at the end of the day, God is saying, oh my goodness, if you would just seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness and my righteousness, my goal is to give you exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask for, I think. I want you to succeed in everything that you do. By the way, the word is not prosper. See, we attach this word prosper, and we have pastors flying around on $10 million jets talking about prosperity. You can have all the stuff that you want. It's time to get my stuff back. You too can have this lifestyle. But you know, there's a flaw in that system. The flaw in the system is when you get on that $10 million jet and you fly to the Philippines and you preach to 100,000 people in a coliseum that can't even find clean drinking water. And you preach this same message of prosperity. You can drive that Bentley. You can live in that mansion. You too can experience these realities that I'm experiencing. It's a lie. We're focusing on the stuff. And we lie to ourselves again and we say, oh, if I could just win the lottery, if I could just have $1 million, oh, how I would bless those around me. Really? How many people could have been blessed with the money spent on a $10 million jet? How many people could be blessed by the money spent on a $24 million home with more rooms than you could ever even walk into? You need 16 bathrooms for two people? Really? Is that to house all the orphans that you're going to take in? Or is that to house all the homeless people or the addicted people? Or is those 16 rooms are for? It's time for us to start calling things as they are. And then there's the complete opposite ends of the spectrum where you have the preacher that stands up in front of 10 people and it says, repent or you're going to hell. You're going to hell. You're sinners saved by grace. No, I am not. That is not truth. I was a sinner. I was saved by grace, but now I've been made the righteousness of God. And now he expects something of me. And he doesn't expect me to walk in this false humility, saying I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But isn't it those people who talk about being a sinner saved by grace, isn't it those people that you find that judge the most, that are the most intolerant? It's all false. It's all false. So the reality that we deal with now, and this is the truth and the message that I'm trying to give you, and this is where my eyes have been opened just in the last 3 days. Is that Jesus said, go forth, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons. But we took one, preached the gospel, and we said, that's the one that makes me feel comfortable. That's the one that makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside, because if I start really dealing with the other two, yeah, you know, people are going to start to feel weird about that. You know, this dealing with demon stuff. You know, I know they exist. I know that they have strongholds. I know that they're alive and well and they're wreaking havoc on our planet because we've given place to them, because we don't fight them anymore. We get up and we put on our armor of God. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is not a breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is our righteousness. Wow. Do we really form this thing? And I'm going to wake up and put on this armor. Okay, there's my righteousness sitting on the corner, over in the corner, so I'm going to pick that up and put that on. Man, you better start operating in some righteousness, or that blessed breastplate has got about 1,000 holes in it that the enemy can penetrate. That breastplate is your righteousness. And if you're not righteous, that breastplate is made out of toilet paper. We were convicted of something this weekend. We were taken to school because I brought my pastor, my spiritual father, down from South Carolina. And the whole purpose of this weekend was deliverance. This is a dirty word in some churches because people say, you know, that stuff doesn't exist. And we wonder why we get up and we preach. We preach a sermon on the radio on Sunday nights, and then we teach Bible study on Wednesday, and then we preach another sermon on Saturday morning at the park, and we look around us week after week, and we say, man, why? What's, Why aren't people's lives changing? Why aren't they getting this? Why don't they understand? Well, after this weekend, we understand. We understand that the enemy is alive and well. We understand that he is roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. We understand that we give place to the devil in every aspect of our lives, through our activity on the internet, to our business practices, to our relationship issues. Our unrighteousness allows the devil, the enemy, to gain a foothold, a stronghold in our lives. And once he's in, he grows, and he gains power. We have a total lack of understanding on this issue because we watch movies and we see people possessed and we see priests with crosses and crucifixes and holy water and God would never let that happen. Well, let me tell you something. This may be popular, it may not be popular, but I'm going to tell you the truth and I'm going to tell you what we've seen. And I'm going to tell you what we're going to do from this point on, because this will be a vital and crucial and mandatory part of our ministry. Because we brought person after person after person up in front of us. And all we did was exactly what Jesus did. We commanded any unclean spirit to come out and let go of the people. And one after another, after another, after another, in ways that you can't even comprehend. And it was a joy, and it was also a sadness, because you realized that these people had been dealing with this torment and this pain and this suffering for years and years and years, not just from just things that they have done, but things that their parents allowed to happen, things that their parents did to them, things that their grandparents and great-grandparents had done, these generational things that have been passed down generation to generation to generation, that these people were bound in. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we didn't do any incantations, it wasn't anything. That's the amazing thing about it. My pastor just said, speak. Plead the blood of Jesus over these people. In the name of Jesus, you have to obey me. And one after another came out, identified themselves, and left. And the freedom that these people experienced in a matter of minutes took me to a whole new understanding, because of why Jesus was saying, these are the things that have to happen. Why do you think I do them? Why do you think I command an unclean spirit to come out of that person? Why do you think that all I do, I don't do any dances, I don't hand people holy Dasani water. I don't do any of these things. I just say, spirit, come out now. That's all I do. And I was blown away. Because you know what? Prior to this weekend, I realized this. I did not believe that what I believe was really real. There was doubt. There was a lack of faith. I was going and saying, preach the gospel. Tell people about the good news. Tell people about the kingdom. Tell people about these realities. But I'm here to tell you that no matter how holy you may think you are, no matter how much you think you've got your life together, no matter how much you're on fire for Jesus, that there are things that gain strongholds in your life. And the one thing I know after this weekend, I know that I know that I know, and now I believe that what I believe is really real, is because I know that there can be healing. I know that someone can be healed from an affliction. I know that the Bible says, God says, I am the only deliverer. I am the only deliverer, not the psychiatrist, not the psychologist, because they give you coping mechanisms. We're going to label you as this, and here's the medicine that you take to cope with that, and if you stick to this regimen, then you're going to be okay. And God is saying, please, somebody get to this person and deliver them in my name. Set them free. And guys, I'm here to tell you, there is another world available to all of us. It does not have to be like this. We grind and grind and grind and grind, and I see great, big-hearted, amazing people grinding. Feed the Homeless Tour and Crimson Line Ministries have formed a strategic partnership that Vitel Webb, who's been grinding for 3 years, and she understands this. For 3 years, she would not be denied. She would not be intimidated by the people that come down to the park and say, you're not allowed to feed these people. She said, I'm going to feed them until you drag me out of here. Because in her heart, she knew it wasn't the fact that she wanted to be feeding homeless people until she's 80 years old. She's known for 3 years that God was going to send someone that would complete this circle that she envisioned. This thing of not only providing for the physical needs of the people, but by providing for their emotional needs and their spiritual needs, she knew it was going to happen. And pastor kept coming along. Nope, not it. Nope, you don't get it. Nope, that's not working. You don't understand. And then we show up, and it was just a natural fit. And I take my pastor down to the park. And he looks around and goes, wow, do you realize what can happen here? I've never seen anything like this. He preached the sermon this morning, and he was intimidated because it can be an intimidating place. You can show up on Sunday morning, and people are high, drunk, angry, tired, and ready to rip your head off. And I watched him as he spoke because he's 67 years old and there was an intimidation and a nervousness in his voice, and he gets up and he starts preaching and there's that shakiness in his voice. But after about 3 minutes, that Holy Spirit took over and he preached and preached and he preached about a kingdom. He preached about the realities of a kingdom until he comes to the end and says, it's your choice. God's throwing you the life jacket. Right now, it's your choice whether you reach up and grab it. And he starts praying a prayer, and I'm listening behind me, and I'm hearing people repeat the prayer. And I'm like in a place where people have nothing. They're at the bottom of the barrel. They have no car, no cell phone. Their food only comes from people who drive up and give them some food. They haven't had a shower in God knows when. But in that moment, because the Holy Spirit moves, they said, that's what I'm talking about. But now what? But now what? The now what is not going to come unless people like me and people like you start to realize that we have to start seeking the kingdom. If you're in a business and you want that business to succeed, God says, I want you to succeed in everything that you do, but you're going to have to do it my way. You're going to have to stop spending hours after hour after hour sitting in front of the computer trying to come up with a new way to do this to make it work. Seek me. Seek the kingdom. Seek my righteousness. Use the key and all these things. Because, by the way, I know, son, that if you use these keys and you see how amazing and miraculous this thing's going to be when you open up this door above and beyond anything that you could ever ask or think, that you know what I know you're going to do? I know that everything, all of that success and all of that Everything you come into, you're going to use that for my glory. And my kingdom is going to be glorified through that success. But if you keep lying to yourself and you keep thinking because of your worldly ways of doing things, if you keep thinking that I'm going to go out and get $100,000, $250,000 in debt, when God's very specific about not being in debt, if you think that it's going to be above and beyond anything that you can ask or think, you're wrong, because you're doing it contrary to the way I told you to do it. And I've had to learn those lessons over and over and over again. I've sat in the boardrooms. I've been on the board of directors. I've been surrounded with the big bank accounts and the big cars and closing the big deals. I've run my own business where I'm sitting there grinding over numbers, and if I can just get this many clients, I can buy this new car. Well, here I am. Here I am in Atlanta, Georgia, with a church in the park, preaching to homeless people, holding a Bible study on Wednesday nights, and watching God show, and watching God deliver one person after another person after another person, just one at a time. Not going out forming, excuse me, building committees, boards of directors. When are we going to be able to build that huge church? When can we put up that building? No. We move when God says move. And right now he says, I need you in the park on Sunday morning when the rain's coming down. It's raining, it's cold, I need you there. I need Heidi Baker in Mozambique, who has a church in a garbage dump. In Mozambique, there's a garbage dump with just acres and acres and acres of trash and human waste and dead animals, and where a group of people have moved into the garbage dump and built cardboard houses for themselves right in the middle of a garbage dump. And she starts a church there. It's the garbage dump church. And people are saved, and they're delivered, and they're healed. Because she says, you know, it takes a while to get over this smell, but I will go where the Holy Spirit tells me to go. We've got to start getting this right. We've got to stop listening and buying into the lies of this is legalistic. We're going to talk about that next week. I'm not going to go into that because I want to give us a little bit of time, if we have any, for some callers. And I know we're running over a little bit. But we're going to talk next week about the law and the misconceptions of the law, because I'm tired of hearing, praise God, we're not under the old covenant anymore. Praise God, we've been delivered from the law. No, that's a lie. That is a theological, doctrinal lie. Jesus came to fulfill the law. And we'll learn next week that it's not the law. That's not the interpretation. It is the instructions of God and God's ways of operation, not legalism. That's going to be a really good show, so I hope that you tune in next week. So with that said, we're going to take a break for some more music, and we'll come back with some callers. If you're on the line, if you would like to have, if you have comments, if you have questions, please feel free to press number one on your phone. That will put you in the host queue. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio and Crimson Line Ministries.
Yeah. We back. G2G. Just say, Mike. Just say, Zay. Let's tell them where we're trying to be. Let's go.
That I want to be closer to my King. that I wanna be closer to my kids.
Yeah. I wanna be closer than close, next to the host, the creator of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, and that's God, you see, so we stay with the B-I-B-L-E. Yeah, Zay is me, and holy is he, so he deserves to be the king. Yeah, and on his wings is we. Yeah, the G2G. Cause we give the glory to he. And never take it for keeps. When we float our peeps with a harmony speech. Yeah, we aiming to teach. And not aiming to please the people, but aiming to please God. So we get on our knees and pray for everyone needs our Father, please. It can't spell USA without us, say. And there's no Y in team of the words that we say. Every day we live for the J-E-S-U-S. Believe we, believe he, for he is a lamb. And believe me, cause serving I am. I'm in Christ, yeah, a new creation. Yeah, the old me is gone, so I'm celebrating. Yeah, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:1, yeah, 7, you see, I practice on the teachings, cause my future is for preaching. Yeah, so I study my Bible, no more looking trifle, no need for a rifle. Yeah, I say I'm done with that, so when I say I'm strapped, that's cause Jesus got my back. Yeah,
that I wanna be closer to my King. That I wanna be closer to my King. Ooh, that's where I wanna be, closer to my King. Ooh, that's where I wanna be, closer to my King.
I'm trying to tell you how I was in this cold world, but so was ghost like a bunny or a small squirrel. I had to find them, had to get closer to my King. Now I live every voice and it's my way to sing. Not the ladies, not the idols, he a true King. Not the watches, not the rings, or the small bling. I mean everything, yeah, that's what he is. I gotta live right, a temple for the kids. Jesus using me on this battlefield. I'm closer to my King, so he my battle shield. We the next Barack or the next Oprah. He's my guiding light, not the soap opera. I was living wrong, mine always gone. Then he touched my screen like an iPhone. St. John, my new home, it's my resident. I live to see a black president. Now it's possible to be anything. You're closer to the King, he can help you, man. I didn't know at first till I read the book. Then he put me up like a fishing hook. Get closer to the man, be relationship. He gon' hold you tight with his nice grip. I hope you hearing me, people can't you see. Anything possible, look at G2G. We the new band, walking hand in hand. People understand, get closer to the man. He gon' change your life, make it all bright. When you're down and left, he gon' pull you right. People get together, we gotta join as one. Read another testament, the story just begun. I'm in a family, I'm another son. He closer to the King, you could drop the gun. He gon' fight your battles and your tribulations. The only time you fight is with the temptations. I'm trying to tell you, get
closer to my King. Ooh, hey. That's where I wanna be.
Industry professionals, have you been looking for an outlet to get your music heard? Hip Hop National Radio and HipHopNational.com, your digital service provider to get the best music first. Pop, rock, jazz, R&B, gospel, and etc. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. This is your chance to get it first and stay on top of the competition. HipHopNational.com is for you. Log on now.
Playwriter and director Antonio G. Wells presents to you Why Am I Still Single? The Stage Flames, coming November 24th, 2013 for two shows, available for 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. Located at the Coral Springs Center for the Arts, 2855 Coral Springs Drive, Coral Springs, Florida.
And what that supposed to mean?
That means I'm starting to turn out like that old lady that
ooh,
I know.
Because I like good vibes.
Yeah, ooh. That old lady, ooh, you.
F-I/you.
You don't want to miss this play, so get your tickets now. Tickets are $15 in advance,
and $25 at the door. Booth rates are also available. Call 954-200-2839. That's 954-200-2839.
Please come as quick as you can and marry this girl. Because if she eat my Cocoa Puffs one more time, I'm going to catch a case. Because I'm cuckoo from a Cocoa Puff.
November 24, 2013. Another Antonio G. Wells production.
Hi, this is Pastor Chris Willingham, founder and pastor of Crimson Line Ministries Atlanta. We are so excited about a new strategic partnership between Crimson Line Ministries and Hip Hop National Radio. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, and every time zone in between, we're going to be reaching out to a new global community with a message of the Kingdom of God, a word that will encourage you and give you the tools you need to use your God-given gifts and your passions to inspire and encourage others. This is the point where the music community and the Kingdom of God come together to begin transforming our homes, our cities, and our nation. Please join us this Sunday night and every Sunday night as we begin this mighty move of God. God bless.
In the mix with Dr. Ray T. Cammy Hearn on the Spreaker channel. www.spreaker.com/listen. Hip Hop National Radio.
This station is a member of VOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
Welcome back to Hip Hop National Radio and Crimson Line Ministries. You were just listening to Zay and Closer to My King. That was an awesome song. Now we're going to do like we do every week, and we're going to open the lines up for callers with comments, questions. So I think we at least have one caller on the line. It might be Mr. John.
Hey, Chris, how you doing? This is John. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. You had a great show as usual. Whenever I look at the clock and I see 6:33, it reminds me of the scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek the kingdom first and everything else be added on to you. And that's where you was coming from tonight, and seek the kingdom first. And like I say, there's a difference between dedication and dedicated. Dedication is when you symbol yourself, use it as a symbol as you get baptized. A lot of people think the work stops right there. But that's where the word starts at. And to be dedicated, and that's what you are dedicated on. The initial, what you're trying to get started and been working hard at, trying to reach the people out there, you're very dedicated in what you're doing. And you're coming from the heart, striving hard, trying to make things work, especially dealing with the people at the bottom. Because the scriptures say whenever one spirit leave out the body, eight more is waiting to take that place. So the battle is going to be very hard to continue to do the fight to keep all those bad spirits out, in which you brought a lot of great points to hear, talking about the people out there from generation, from they got a lot of bad spirit from the parents, the fathers, the mothers, the grandparents. All those bad spirits was cultivated in these peoples, the ones that are down, and they're looking for somebody to deliver them. And you're doing a great job. And they see the love in which that you have and the compassion and see God backing you with the hard work that you is doing with your ministry. And I commend you to be committed to doing and trying to reach the peoples and stuff like that. I see your compassion, and I see God working with you in your ministry and striving to help. And that's the most important key, is that you have the right heart and the right motive to help peoples and stuff like that. And I just wanted to call in and let you know that, you know, I have a lot of respect for you because you're very dedicated in what you're trying to do and reach the people at the bottom. And a lot of people out there don't even like to look at those people, don't want to be around those people. but you get red dead in the middle of them, and deal with all the different circumstances out there, and still try to reach the people. And I just wanted to call in tonight and let you know that, you know, you're doing a great job, and I got a lot of respect for you.
Well, John, as always, I appreciate it. And, you know, we are I think I'm going to become a little more bold in this, in the way we're going about this, because I believe that, you know, we don't have a huge audience on Sunday nights. I believe that over time that's going to grow, but also that believe that that is really rests on if you feel like you're being blessed by this ministry, by this the radio show that we have, that we're just so grateful for Hip Hop National for allowing us to have this show every Sunday night. We're calling on the people that have been blessed to take some time during the week and help us to get the word out for this show, because I believe that there are people out there that need to hear this message. Most people that dial in realize that, man, this is a little different than what I hear in church. It's a little different than I've heard in the past. There's a lot different, and I'm blessed by it. And if that's the case, then we all need to do our part, because whether you believe this or not, or acknowledge it, we are the church. Those of us who gather together on Sunday nights and on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday nights, we're the body of Christ, and we all need to do our part in getting this message out. And I believe that at some point, I believe that we're going to have opportunities to come together. I believe, I absolutely believe that there's going to come a time that I'm going to be down in Fort Lauderdale, and we're going to have events where we can start. I believe there's going to be revivals. I believe there's going to be movements. And I'm just speaking that right now because those are the things that have been on my heart. So I'm calling on anyone listening. Take some time during the week. Put the information out there. It's just a phone number and a testimony from those who have listened in saying this has blessed me and I believe it'll bless you. And so I just wanted to put that out there tonight, because the work that Al is doing with Hip Hop National Radio, I believe in it. I believe in what he's doing. I believe that it's righteous. And so we are, so we're going to keep grinding as much as we have to, as long as we have to. So anyway, John, thank you. And I don't think we have any more callers. So with that said, unless Mr. Al Williams has anything to add or questions, we're going to close out in prayer. Al, you got anything?
In closing, I just want to say if they are listening and tuned in by any other device, that they can connect with us every Sunday for this ministry and every day of the week for different things that we do at Hip Hop National, such as on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we talk about the business of music. All Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday is all music. And on Sunday, we want the gospel community to support us by sending in their music. www.hiphopnationalradio.com. All right. And thank you, John, for participating. You now have the floor, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right, let's close out in prayer. Father, we thank you again so much for tonight. We thank you for this opportunity to come together each week on such a unorthodox venue and media to be able to deliver your word. Father, we thank you for being our provider. We thank you for being our healer. We thank you for being our deliverer. Father, we thank you for what you're doing through these ministries, through Hip Hop National Radio, through Feed the Homeless Tour, and through Crimson Line Ministries. Father, we praise you and we thank you for that. And we just anticipate everything that you're going to do in the future. Father, keep everybody that's listening safe. Have them go in peace until next week. In Jesus' name, amen.
And whatever it is that's got a hold on me, I just need it to let go. No flex.
Jacob, what up?
Ride with me on this one.
Let's go. I feel the world on my shoulders. I'm carrying boulders. They bury my soldiers. Right now it's scary. I'm colder. Wish your life could be over. Said I'm sick of you posers. Want you to die or grow older. Try to keep my composure. The pain escapes my mind. I let it flow through my pen. My name will be great in time. I'll be here to the end. I ain't afraid to speak my mind. I don't really need friends. To the grave, one of a kind. Jacob will never pretend. So don't ask me why I'm pissed off. I got enough fire inside me I can lift off. Send my soul to the heavens I could take off. Come back to the earth with my body impaled on the cross. I'm a chip off the block, my block is cinder with rock. Can't piss, no pot. Grew up with no pots, no stocks and no crops. Just a bucket and mop, plus a bunch of belly flops. My life's a closed down shop, so release me.
You seem to have a hold on my soul,
so believe me.
You need to let me go on my own.
As I bleed,
I can see
what it means
to be free.
So I leave,
and I breathe
on my own.
See, I've grown,
so release me.
You seem to have a hold on my soul,
so believe me.
You need to let me go on my own.
As I bleed,
I can see
what it means
to be free.
So I leave,
and I breathe
on my own.
See, I've grown,
so even a taste. It's bitter once your inner is scarred. No winners involved, facing unforgivable odds. I'm visioning stars from the driver's side of my car. Been a second, I never seen them, so I'm sitting in awe. I feel far, now I crawl, trying to cover the spread. Was so misled, felt the pressure from what others have fed. Stood up and said, I never let them leave me for dead. For what's in my head, it sorta had me sorta misread. So much of me bled for many till the time it arrived. To say my goodbyes, tripping over egos and lies. Never surprised by what I've seen in front of my eyes. Know all of us die, but I can rest possessing my pride. All that aside, who's really here for me in the end? Knew if I ran, it'd be safer than to stay and pretend. Holding my hands, what I need to follow through with my plans. So what the friends in the end, on myself I depend. So release me.
You seem to have a hold on my soul.
So believe me.
You need to let me go on my own.
As I bleed,
I can see
what it means
to be free.
So I leave,
and I breathe
on my own.
See, I've grown.
So release me.
You seem to have a hold on my soul.
So believe me.
You need to let me go on my own.
As I bleed,
I can see
what it means
to be free.
So I leave,
and I breathe
on my own.
See, I've grown.
I feel the pain of my brothers, plus so many others. Will I recover from slumber? In my dreams, I'm outnumbered. Will I awake what they wonder? Am I slowly going under? Face the lightning and the thunder like I'm drowning in the water. I hold these pillars like Samson, but I'm losing my grip. Grip the rope, I pull it in, but still I'm losing my ship. I see the walls, they closing in, and I ain't moving too quick. I need another shot, but all I'm throwing is bricks. I can't explain why I feel it's over, but I know I'm only happy when I'm not sober. 44 to the head, the barrel feels colder. Feel the steel causing chills, place it in its holder. Release through beats, my speech is all truth. Nightmares and dreams, what I lay in the booth. So imagine you were me, and I was you. Think for a sec while I release from the noose.
So release me. You seem to have a hold on my soul.
So believe me.
You need to let me go on my own.
As I bleed,
I can see
what it means
to be free.
So I leave,
and I breathe
on my own.
See, I've grown.
So release me.
You seem to have a hold on my soul.
So believe me.
You need to let me go on my own.
As I bleed,
I can see
what it means
to be free.
So I leave,
and I breathe
on my own.
See, I've grown.
Right. you going through. Call on God, he take anything you going through. Matter of fact, rip it open and go through. Look in the mirror, guess what you see is you. Probably like me, full of dead man's bone. But guess what, my dead man's gone. And I'm filled with the spirit. Left foot, right foot, going wrong when you ain't on the right foot. I'm doing right, look, you doing right too. Be Christ-like, yeah, just like you. And that's what it is, that's what it be. Crazy for Christ, yeah, to kill me. But I'm still iller, God got me high. No angel wings, but I'm still fly. Looking good when I'm walking through. You see the Christ in me, I see the Christ in you.
Look what you want.
Jump for Jesus, jump for Jesus, jump for Jesus, jump for Jesus.
Let me see you get out your seat and move your feet, yes, to the beat, come on.
Jump for Jesus.
Let me see you get out your seat and move your feet.
Everybody know, yes, everybody know, everybody know, everybody know.
Let me see you get out your seat and move your feet, yes, to the beat, come on.
Hip-hop.